Well, today on The Long View, our contributing analyst, Neil Milner, is here to talk about improving the relationships between police and the communities they serve, right? I mean, we need to improve our relationship with our police department.
Well, yes. This that I'm going to talk about comes from a little bit different setting and with a different set of problems, at least on the surface. And it has to do with what the Department of Justice offered during the Obama administration because of all of the police-involved shootings, the Ferguson, Eric Garner in New York, and the chokehold thing. They offered $6 million that would go to six different cities to test some ways of rebuilding or maybe building trust between the police and the community, saying essentially, this has to be done. And they got a couple of experts and a couple of institutions that are expert to develop a process by doing this. And these institutions specialize in trust building. Now, before we go anywhere else, I want to make it very clear that when they took it out to six cities around the country, not the biggest cities, but pretty good sized cities, including Stockton, California, which we'll talk about in detail, this was not a kind of woo-woo kumbaya moment, that these things are developed in certain sorts of ways. They include other things besides trust building. But the assumption was, the working assumption was, we have the tools and the skills to get at this fundamental issue of distrust between communities, particularly minority communities and police. So they did. $6 million went out. They had experts helping the police to do it. And it was up to these experts, but mainly up to the police in the cities to figure out how to make it work.
Yeah, and it's about, well, changing behavior, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's about changing behavior. So the first thing that these things involved, and we'll talk about Stockton, because of all of the cities, Stockton, which is a city of about 300,000 people in California, Stockton had the most successful outcome. The crime rate went down, the homicide clearance went down, there was a higher degree of sense of trust and a sense of safety with the police in the town. But what they did in this town was very interesting, and it was very much built around this kind of curriculum. The first thing that you did was to have these listening sessions all over the city. Now, we are a little bit cynical toward listening sessions here because the mayor's office uses them all the time, and people call them non-listening sessions. This chief took it very seriously, listened to a lot of stories from people with experience, you know, bad experiences with the police. And he did one crucial thing. He's an up-from-the-ranks cop. He said, I felt that in order to build trust, you have to apologize for police actions, not just the actions of a particular case, but you had to make public apologies frequently that said, look, I didn't do it in the sense that I'm not responsible myself or my department is not responsible itself right now for what happened over the past 50 years or 100 years. But I know that it's essential for us to apologize for our role in essentially a kind of racism.
Yeah, it's an acknowledgement.
The acknowledgement. Now, remember, this is a police department that's doing this, and it had some very important effects. It was very hard for the chief. At first, people didn't listen to them, but it appears to me, if you read the studies, that this was the catalyst that allowed the community to move forward. He did other things. They changed training. They emphasized some stuff on implicit bias. They gave police a lesson on kind of racial equality. But it was all this kind of mix that was based on the notion that you have to rebuild trust in very systematic ways.
So the other cities that they looked at was not then the same success that Stockton.
No, mixed. There were mixed success. The other cities were, if I can remember, Pittsburgh, Gary, Fort Worth, and one or two others. What happened in those cities is that, and Birmingham, Alabama, in each of those cities, something worked all right. Some of these same kinds of things worked all right, but they all didn't work as well as Stockton, and you can't see a pattern of why it worked and why it didn't. The reason has as much to do, I'll get back to some of the things that they say that makes this harder. The reason you can't tell is because, unlike Stockton, this one in-depth look at Stockton is that the assessment was a comparative assessment. You couldn't get into the weeds. You didn't know as much about what happened in say, Birmingham or Gary as you now knew about Stockton. And of course, the Urban Institute that did the study, a very reputable study, would do that. But I think there's another important lesson here, not just about police reform, but about any other kind of reform. And it's this. Stockton was exceptional in the situation it was in. First of all, it was in such bad shape that people were willing to try something. It had a 29-year-old mayor that said, go for it. It had a police union. Remember how crucial the Grand Confine. It had a police union that had really cordial relationships with the chief. So, and you had a chief who was about as reform-minded as you're going to find. So that mix all worked together, and there seems to be a commitment to continue to carry this forward.
So the stars were lining up.
The stars were lining up, and in other places, what seemed to happen is that the stars didn't seem to line up quite that way. There wasn't as much commitment. But here's the kicker here about commitment. These kinds of social reforms work to the extent that there is sustained commitment to them. I mean, so let's say Stockton did okay up to now. It still was a short-term thing. If you liked what you saw in Stockton, then you should remain committed to it, put the resources in. The Trump administration's Department of Justice, Jeff Sessions is a real hard-line, old-fashioned cop guy. They eliminated that money. So that all the money that you would get from the feds or from a grant that came partially with the feds from the private sector, that's gone. So this sustained commitment, if you had to rely on that, is gone. And these are two typical kinds of things that we see that are troubling and problematic in all kinds of forms. You see it in education all the time. Certain things work, but you're not sure why. When you find out why, they have a lot to do with what is down in the weeds. Or even if they do work, politicians lose their interest in it, which means you lose your money and then they disappear.
But I imagine, too, that if you're trying to track something, you would need good data.
Exactly. And there wasn't in some of these cities. There wasn't. Criminal justice data is a little bit sloppy. So especially if you're trying to look across the board, you need comparative data that all makes sense. And they said, the Urban Institute said that was a problem with some of the cities. Some of the cities didn't have data. They may have had different criteria for it. To me, that's a minor problem compared to these other challenges about commitment and sustainability. And, those two.
So is there anything that we can glean from this study? I mean, we have a trust issue on some
sure.
different aspects, because I think in some of these cities, what they were looking more about race.
Sure. Well, you know, I think there are, in a general sense, there are some lessons here and perhaps some things to try. We have a different kind of racial history and a different kind of racial and ethnic composition here. I don't know if it's better or if it's worse or less complicated or more complicated. You know, the 400 years of racism that you have in regard to African Americans is different here. But put that aside. I don't want to get into a situation of whether we're better off or worse off. But it seems to me that some of these ideas about trust and reconciliation and some of these ideas about training are promising in other kind of settings, too. You don't necessarily talk about the same things or the same languages, but it strikes me that in a community like this where there have been some issues about police-involved shootings and people suing them, and the police department right now being in a kind of, because of the scandal that was involved, it seems to me that some of these ideas could be tested, could be tried here. And there's plenty of expertise along these lines. But it's hard to bring about police reform. Police tend to be a fairly closed institution. The fact that Stockton was so successful and how it was successful reminds you what you really need to make that work.
Okay, but it begins with an apology?
You have to figure out. You have to be willing to take responsibility. You have to be willing to listen a lot in a sincere sort of way and share your own stories with it. And it probably would involve some kind of apology, certainly not stonewalling.
Right, but it's a start. Well, that's a long view. Neil Milner, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Neil Milner is a retired professor of political science and contributing editor of our segment, The Long View.